for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. Bile Superfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
Network, and with us this morning is our good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief to bring us up to date on the exciting things that are going on. Exciting, frightening, but dangerous. But what we're seeing, I believe, really is an introduction to very, very serious times here, not only in America, but certainly in the Middle East. But with that as a background, Joe, why don't you pick up and tell us what the most important stories are that you're covering?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The big story, of course, in this past week has been the shifting of a new tactic by the Bush administration to shift blame to the Iraqi government, which, you know, is in some ways a puppet for the Americans. They simply have to do what America says, and Ambassador Khalid Saad has almost veto power under anything that the government does. But at the same time, they are in reality anti-American in the sense that being Shiite, they do want the Americans out of there. The people in power in the government, though, are beholden to the Americans to stay in power, and so it's kind of a mixed marriage there of and very problematic. But things have gotten very tense in the past week since the Bush administration has, in reality, tricked the Iraqi government into agreeing to a sort of timetable or a set of goals to accomplish the security needs. And this is essentially something to make sure that no longer the Bush administration is blamed for what is going to be continuing a deteriorating situation. They had a meeting with Ambassador Khalilzad, with most of the major cabinet members of the Iraqi government, and they sat down and talked about some timetables. And as far as the Iraqi government was concerned, these were just nice to have goals to look at to try to get Iraqi security forces to take over things, and they threw out numbers like 18 months or 12 months to do this and that. But there was no sense in the meeting, according to the Iraqi government, that they were taking over responsibility in a fixed manner that would require that they shoulder all of the blame. And so when the United States came out and started talking about the Iraqi government having agreed to a timetable for takeover of the security forces and for eliminating sectarian violence and for disarming the militias, the Iraqi government came back very strongly and said we'd agreed to no such timetable and talked about the meeting. And of course the Bush administration began to backtrack and started to talk about these aren't really ultimatums, these are not necessarily deadlines, but these are suggested timelines, and they started to soften their stance. But clearly the strategy was visible that if there was going to be future failures in Iraq, they were going to blame it on the failure of the Iraqi government to meet their timelines.
But of course the Iraqi government can't do anything without an army and an inadequate police force. We've consistently, did everything we could to block building an Iraqi army that could really be effective. And I was just reading an article last night about, how they'd sent over, a unit of, reserve troops from America who really didn't, had been just suddenly activated, and none of them speak Arabic, and they're sent over to supervise and advise the Iraqi army, which we're supposedly training. I mean, we couldn't have done a better job training the Iraqi army to replace the Americans. We couldn't have done that by accident.
Well, there are certain things about Arab military service that are very different from ours. For example, they have a very liberal leave policy where they get a 1 week out of every month to go home and take care of their family affairs, and most people, well, a good portion of them don't come back from those leaves. You know, that's it's too often of a leave policy, and you know, essentially it's 25% of their time in service is spent in leave, and you get back home and you look at what the Iraqi military is being asked to do, to shoot and kill its own people, it's very much a motivation to not go back.
Sure.
So most Iraqi military forces are probably about 25% to 30% staffing of the regular TO, which is table of organization, that which on paper they're supposed to have to operate a company or a battalion, and they simply don't have the people. In addition, almost all Iraqi units are infiltrated with insurgents. So with only a few exceptions, there are no Iraqi units that can work independent of U.S. direction and U.S. military assistance. Now, the two largest Shiite militias, the Mahdi Army and the Badr Brigade, are the strongest powers on the ground outside of the Americans. For al-Maliki, the Prime Minister of Iraq, to take on these militias would be political suicide. You know, to demonstrate the unlikelihood of al-Maliki taking on this task of disarming the major militias, consider that when the U.S. staged a raid this week on Muqtada al-Sadr's militia, the Mahdi Army in central Baghdad slums, al-Maliki was furious and immediately issued a statement claiming he had never authorized the attack, nor was associated with its planning in any way. So he made noises about how the militias must disarm, but he's clearly not intending to do so.
Sure.
And as Michael Gawanda, one of the reporters from Washington, said this week, there's little doubt that the Bush administration is losing patience with the inability or unwillingness of the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to challenge the militias and their leaders, many of whom are members of parliament and even some are in his cabinet. So that tells you the difficulty of the situation. He's a Shiite. He's very much owing to a Shiite base of support, which has its own militias. And we must be frank, though, that the U.S. is somewhat ingenuous and disingenuous in their proclamations about disarming the militias. They themselves have authorized, and in a de facto form, the formation of these militias. They've even done much to foment the insurgency by allowing them access to arms and ammunition, as well as creating many outright provocative events that have been blamed on the insurgency. One of those is the ubiquitous car bomb that goes off in Baghdad. There is testimony from at least one high-placed source that he was arrested and taken into the green zone and told by American authorities to get in his car and drive it to another station where he would be interrogated. And he did so, and that car blew up after he had gotten out of it.
We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Scouse here, the American Freedom Center.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM. If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and Joel was simply talking about, at least in one instance, where an Iraqi official had been told to drive his car, after taking it into the green zone, to drive his car to another location for questioning. And the car had been actually filled with explosives, and fortunately the man got out. In other words, what the suggestion is that some of these car bombings are actually staged to maintain this state of terror over there. And so we know about the British soldiers who were dressed as Arabs who shot a policeman and wounded another. And of course, when they were arrested by the Iraqi forces to be tried for murder, why the British sent their tanks in to break into the jail to rescue these men who were inciting violence. Why would they do something like that? Unless, of course, there are people who want continued violence so we can justify keeping our troops there and getting them killed. Go right ahead.
Yes, as a minor correction, it wasn't his car that he drove to another location. He was pointed to a car and said, "You drive that car over to this." And so that was pre-loaded with explosives, and there was a helicopter following, and the car broke down, and so he got out, and had left the scene in that car. Then when a mechanic came to try to work on it, found this load of explosives in it, and so he knew he had been targeted to be a suicide bomber without his knowledge of it. You know, one often wonders, how do they get so many people to commit suicide? And now we find out that in reality, what's happening is that a lot of people are being set up to be killed in one of these vehicles as they drive it to a location. And it's being triggered remotely by either the helicopter following them or other persons with radio control when they get into the area. But this is a very serious charge. This means that, like 9/11, there is evidence that our government was directly involved in fomenting these terrorist attacks in order to project this conflict or this phony war on terrorism, this conflict supposedly of the Islamic fascism versus Christianity. And it's my feeling in general that Islam, though it does certainly have its radicals, would never be capable of mounting any major challenge to either Christianity or the Western world if it were not for these major powers which use the Islamic people as cannon fodder in their goals to create conflict and to rearrange the chess pieces on the world chessboard.
Well, there was an article within the last week about how we just accidentally lost 100,000 rifles that were to be used for the Iraqi army, and we just accidentally lost them. We have no idea what happened to the rifles and ammunition. How could you do something like that unintentionally?
Well, as I covered in last week's brief, there's a great deal of money lost in that process. One has to wonder why the U.S. was using these notorious arms dealers to provide them these black market arms for the Iraqi army. And of course, when you're dealing with shady people, you're going to lose some of that money and those arms. But that appears to be the purpose.
Sure.
What I covered in last week's brief was that some of these people who were very closely tied to the Bremer administration when they were running Iraq were known to be had ties with criminal elements. They were given these contracts, and These people, even though it has been now come to light that they have stolen millions of dollars, are not being prosecuted. Interesting enough, a couple of these people have gone to our so-called new Eastern European allies like Poland and Romania, where they're presently building huge villas there. Now, you can't tell me the United States couldn't put pressure on Poland, one of their so-called allies, and Romania to extradite these people for trial and to put them on justice. But no effort is being done to do that. So we have the appearance of an investigation, the appearance of accountability, but in essence, the people go scot-free, just as it has happened in our own government, in the disastrous elements of the falsification of the pretenses for the going to the war in Iraq and for 9/11, which is the largest criminal enterprise that our government has ever engaged in, of loading those buildings with explosives and tying in through various third parties to induce a terrorist attack on those twin towers, as well as building number 7 in the World Trade Center. And this will continue to, create and engender many legitimate conspiracy theories about government. And I, in my World Affairs brief, try to bring some rational explanation to what our own people are doing. You know, that's one of the things that's hardest for Americans to believe, is how our own government officials, pretending to be conservative Republicans and Christians, can actually be attacking our own people and our own infrastructure and fomenting a war on terror. But it's really happening. It has happened before. If you look back in a very close analysis of the JFK assassination, you'll find out it was our own government that took him down. You look into the TW-800, and even though I think it was a Navy missile chute gone awry that took out TW-800, there was a massive cover-up and falsification of the National Transportation Safety Board, the FBI. All of those people were compromised. They falsified the black box tape recordings, and having sent Navy divers down into the ocean to pick it up, falsified and put it back down in the ocean to be discovered. I mean, that is conspiracy with a big C, and these are conspiracy facts that we know now. These are not theories, as the media would like to say. You look at Oklahoma City bombing, you find the government's footprints all over it, with various Iraqi and Middle Eastern third-party people who were protected by the FBI from going before the grand jury. There were multiple bombs within the building. There were seismic evidence showing more than 2 explosions. All of that information was covered up in these so-called official investigations. And so we have it at 9/11, as we've discussed many times on your program before. You know, and I must say, Dr. Stan, that a lot of people are waking up. I think fully 40% of American people are suspicious that our government had some involvement in 9/11. Those that have the best evidence are convinced into the high 70s and 80s that our government not only had prior knowledge, but in fact had to have been involved, especially in the black operations that placed the explosives in the World Trade Center. That shut down the building on several weekends prior to that in order to place those explosives. And, of course, in Building 7, it would have been easier to do it. Since it was mostly government-occupied, they could have been doing it long before the World Trade Center incident. So as Iran and Iraq, or as Iran moves into the target of these globalists who are fronting as conservatives and Christians in our own government, we have to ask ourselves, what's their big plan? And I think it's obvious, at least in my analysis, that the big plan is not only to control oil within the Middle East. The major plan, the bigger picture, is that there is an agenda of war on the horizon, a war which will force the world into a radically new world order George Bush, 41, the father of our current president, promoted so many times during the Gulf War, forming a new world order. But they weren't able to get it there. They weren't able to get it through the machinations of World War II and the formation of the United Nations. It had no enforcement powers. And this next war that they are setting us up for, I think, is destined to create a United Nations that has enforcement power and to diminish almost to nothing the ability of individual nations to exercise their own military power on behalf of national sovereignty. and to resist the power of force of this world government, which presently isn't controlled, Dr. Stan, by the Anglo-American establishment. They control the money that goes into the UN. But by far and away, most of the nations that form the General Assembly of the United Nations are hostile to American interest, or hostile, and growing more so, to the U.S. But they can't do anything with that hostility because the U.S. has veto power. They've shared that veto power with their two arch rivals in world hegemony, China and Russia, and I think that's done for conflict creation. I think it's also done to make the United Nations look impotent, as it is, so that they can thereby justify giving it more power. But in order to do so, and prior to doing so, they will engineer some way in which they will take actual control over all of the bureaucracy so that it no longer is a tool of the far left in the General Assembly as it is now. So there are going to be some major changes. And the key to these changes, in my opinion, is this concerted effort to antagonize almost the entire Muslim and Slavic world against the United States. We are facilitating that antagonism by continuing intervention in the Middle East under these provoked reasons, which are really not true. We're not in there for democracy. We are in there to control oil, but I think that is related to the war agenda in the future, so that during that world war, we will tie up as much of those energy resources for the West, so that even though the United States is targeted to be hit by a preemptive nuclear strike through Russia and China, who are preparing, have been preparing for that strike for many years, nevertheless, the United Nations and the other allies that will put together this large international force to combat the new great evil of resurgent communism in the next war will, in essence, have control of major supplies of Middle East oil. So there's kind of a dual approach there. The left sees it only as greedy capitalist conspiracy to control oil. Those of us who see a little broader picture see it as a globalist objective to create antagonism, to foment the
What really disturbs me is that I see so many Christian and Christian leaders talking about how we've just got to get those Islamofascists before they get us.
Yes, when in fact, I mean, if it weren't for, I mean, let's put it this way, every time we intervene in the Middle East, we really increase the radicalness of the Islamic world. It was nowhere near unified. It was fairly unified against Israel before, but it was never so hotly unified against the United States as through our constant intervention, and that's going to increase if we take on Iraq or Iran, and that's looking very, very much like the prelude to the Iraq war. You have the denials that there is any intention to do anything militarily. The options, they say, are still on the table. But while we speak and while we dally and while Congress conjures up the various excuses and resolutions that can be interpreted by the administration as an edict for war, we are preparing for war. We've got task force over there right now. The U.S. Eisenhower is now on station. There's at least two major international naval exercises going on, and those naval assets could be pulled into the Gulf War theater at any time. And that's one of the reasons why they're kept there. We have major naval task force of NATO in the Mediterranean using the Lebanon as the pretext for being there. And there isn't absolutely any necessity for them to be operating this military and naval blockade there of Lebanon. This is not where the major resupply is coming from. And at the same time, we have this major buildup of forces in the Gulf. My sources in Israel and elsewhere indicate that sometime around the new year we should expect this attack on Iran to start. And that schedule, of course, can slide depending on the international diplomatic facade that the U.S. is creating. They need a provocation, of course, and Iran is supplying that all too easily by announcing their successful enrichment of uranium, the second set of centrifuges going online for the enrichment process. All of that is very provocative. There's no need for them to be announcing those things openly to the world. Why not keep that under the hat? I mean, I personally think that Iran is attempting to get nuclear weapons. I think they're at least 4 or 5 years off. The hypocrisy, of course, of the situation is that North Korea has exploded a nuclear weapon. The U.S. has even confirmed it now through the air sampling that they've done. And not only that, they have full missile arsenals. So North Korea is light years ahead of Iran, and yet we do nothing. And yet we've guaranteed them that there will be no military intervention in North Korea. They're returning to the six-party talks, which is just a sham to continue to the delaying factors. But there's definitely hypocrisy going on.
We'll be back in just a moment here with the old skeleton here, the American Freedom Network.
Left his home in Israel during this critical time of war in order to bring a shocking and prophetic message to America. The greatest hoax that has been foisted upon the Christian church in the past 2,000 years is the blatantly insupportable 3.5-year ministry of the Messiah. This sinister doctrine was invented to support replacement theology and to introduce another Jesus, which replaced both Yeshua and the gospel of the kingdom which he preached. For the first time in history, Michael will decipher the prophetic Jonah code and expose the fatal error in Western Christianity. Michael will be in Denver, Colorado for a two-night seminar starting November 5th at the Ramada Inn, 10 East 120th Avenue. The doors open at 6 p.m. For more information, call toll-free at 866-328-1116 or visit our website at arudeawakening.tv. If you think you had a rude awakening from Michael's international television series, you haven't heard anything until you've heard this live presentation of The Jonah Code.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval. With a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
All veterans, I'm speaking with Jamie LaRue of Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866. Jamie, what benefits help a vet buy a home?
The Veterans Administration has a no-down payment home loan programs for veterans, reservists, and enlisted personnel.
So veterans learn more about your benefits. Call Jamie at Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866.
The career politicians in Washington, D.C. are increasing the debt that our children must service by $600 billion a year. To do otherwise, they would have to raise taxes by 20% or reduce spending by 20%. They don't have what it takes to do either. They value their political careers too much. You get to choose between the financial future of our children or extending the career of a politician for 2 years. I'm Norm Olson, Libertarian candidate for Congress. I have what it takes.
Network, our guest, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, before we go on, why don't you get your website out and how people could get in touch with you and perhaps subscribe to your newsletter. And I will tell the listeners I read Joel's newsletter every week when it comes in by email religiously. It's one of the finest sources of interpretation and information we have. So how could people get your information?
Well, they need to go to my website, which is www.worldaffairsbrief.com. Not only does it showcase all of the top stories each day, so it's a good news size to check, site to check. My staff screens the news stories so that only the best and the ones with the least disinformation get posted on our website. As you mentioned, my newsletter is an analysis service of those stories where I provide my unique political view and experience to what's going on, and there's an awful lot of falsification going on in the news on all fronts, not just Fox News on behalf of the administration, but all of the establishment news put a spin on these things and promote certain things which aren't true, and I try to unravel that for my readers. My newsletter comes out by subscription. It's a very modest subscription price, and you can subscribe right online. If you want a sample of the current World Affairs Brief, you can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And we'll be happy to send you out a sample copy of the current World Affairs Brief.
Well, I recommend it to people. I think it's a great source of information. So, is there anything else you want to talk about as far as Iran is concerned?
Yes. You know, there are certain parallels between the lead-up to the Iraq War that we're seeing here. 4 weeks ago, for example, Congress enacted, and President Bush, and this was, you know, one of the shills for the White House that put this bill before Congress, they signed the, quote, Iran Freedom Support Act. It was a resolution very much in the spirit of the 1998 Iraq Liberation Act. It mandates sanctions against any country aiding Iran's nuclear programs, even those to which that are legally entitled to under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which Iran is a signatory of. The new law virtually got no coverage in the congressional rush to adjourn, mostly because of the controversy surrounding the Mark Foley scandal. It was also overshadowed, of course, by North Korea's explosion of a nuclear device. But it isn't, doesn't take too much of a stretch of the imagination to see how this bill will now be used as the justification for going against Iran and for the administration claiming that Congress has been on board all along because it passed this little-known bill or this resolution. So I'm very, very concerned that we have the military forces being brought into place for an aerial attack on Iran. I don't think there's going to be a ground war attack on Iran except for special forces, which are already in Iran as we speak, fomenting unrest and creating little incursions here and there, the same thing that happened in Iraq. So this is a real problem, and the most recent national intelligence estimate found that Iran's progress to nuclear weapons was actually slower than recently thought, and yet it still said that Iran was the top strategic threat for the United States. And they said this with a straight face, even looking at North Korea, who has brandished nuclear weapons and has the missiles to deliver them to parts of the United States. That's just inconceivably hypocritical, in my opinion.
And the same thing could be said for communist China. Certainly, they have the potential for a strike on America. They may not want to do it right now, but certainly they have sophisticated, very accurate missiles, and they have a good supply of nuclear weapons, but we never consider them as an enemy.
That's right, and of course the biggest enemy of all is Russia with its huge arsenal, of which they are putting it underground. They've got factories completed now in the Ural Mountains, completely underground. So, you know, when the United States says with a straight face that that Russia is in complete compliance with all international treaties, this is ludicrous on its face for two counts. Number one, Russia has already reneged publicly on the strategic reduction force treaties that they signed with President Bush. Secondly, we have no access to these underground nuclear facilities or missile facilities or factories. We're not allowed to see any of them. Even the nuclear storage weapons facilities that we built for Russia, we're not allowed to go in. So how, with a straight face, can our intelligence say that Russia is in compliance? It's just impossible. They are covering for Russia, because Russia is to be the instigator of this huge war of retaliation against the United States. Of course, doing so with the excuse that someone had to stop this bully from rampaging around the world. And, of course, Bush has provided Putin with all of the preemptive military strike doctrine that he needs, and Putin has said, we too can use this, just like the United States. So all of the puzzles are being put in place over time. In the meantime, the West has continued to spend in a profligate manner on war and intervention around the world. And the more that we see what's going on, the more we find that there is personal enrichment and corruption going on. The House Halliburton scandal continues to come forth in the press almost every week. Now we're finding all of these no-bid Congress contracts with Halliburton were also cost-plus contracts. That means that there was virtually no incentive whatsoever to hold costs down. They had an unlimited contract, they had an unlimited budget, and they simply would get paid a fixed percentage on everything they spent in Iraq. And so there was no incentive whatsoever to choose the cheaper ones. In fact, we found that they enhanced at every point their costs so that their profits could be enhanced. For example, in the mess halls, in the recreation areas, in the military bases, which Kellogg Brown and Root, a subsidiary of Halliburton, was in charge of building and maintaining, their payment was based upon the headcount of how many used these recreation facilities. And so they proceeded to, according to various investigators and some whistleblowers coming out of Halliburton, they proceeded to start double and triple headcounting people. And how did they do that? They simply counted everybody coming into the door, made them sign, and then they counted them signing up for individual activities within the recreation centers, and they counted them all as separate individuals, when in fact the same people entering the door were the same people who were signing up for the various seminars and tennis racquetball courts, and they were treating them all as separate individuals. In other words, compiling all of the lists and showing numerous times that people had used the facility, as if they'd gone out the door and come back again every time they'd done this. This was totally fraudulent. Halliburton has been acknowledged by investigative bodies of being fraudulent in the past, but it still doesn't stop them from getting and maintaining these contracts. It's just incredible, Dr. Stan, to think that this administration can continue to tell the American people, we are investigating, we are prosecuting, we are fining these corporations. Oh, yes, there's a few token fines here and there, but they still keep giving them contracts. It's unconscionable.
Well, you know, initially, when Dick Cheney became the vice president, he was receiving something called deferred compensation from Halliburton. Whether he's still getting it, I don't know, but I find it so difficult to understand how, I mean, a government employee could be getting deferred compensation from a corporation who was getting preferred treatment from the government.
It's incredible, Dr. Stan. They're supposed to divest themselves of anything that could create a conflict of interest, but they do not.
Well, I guess there's some people who are sort of above morality or really don't have to answer to the people. We'll be right back here to wrap up this morning's program. The American people.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
If you're looking for a dependable, reasonable, and honest customer service, you're looking for Josiah Electric, LLC. Hi, this is Michael Pohl, owner of Josiah Electric, a licensed and insured commercial and residential electrical service with 9 years' experience serving the Wyoming, Nebraska, and Denver metro area. Contact us Monday through Saturday at 303 303- 303-489-2170. That's 303-489-2170. Josiah Electric, service you can be sure of.
Six minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, in other news of corruption, there's a secret Whitehall. This is a British corruption thing in Iraq, a Whitehall telegram that reveals that the controversial arms deal with Riyadh or Saudi Arabia, they paid an extra £600 million for jets they bought from Britain in a 1985 contract. And this was, I think this has been going on for many, many years. The government yesterday was scrambling to recover secret documents that contained evidence supporting these corrupt payments made in Britain's biggest arms deal. And this is ongoing, you know, the production of these aircraft and selling them to Saudi Arabia since 1985. The contract began in that time. This was the Tornado warplane. And the price was inflated $600 million in order to pay off the various arms dealers in Saudi Arabia. And it comes that, the Lebanese ex-prime minister that was assassinated was part of this arms dealing. He was the middleman between all of this. So, you know, there's a lot of people who knew these types of things and potentially wanted to eliminate him as they did in the assassination. So the telegram deals with the details from the head of the Ministry of Defense's sales unit that had been placed in the National Archives, and yesterday it was hastily withdrawn by officials who claimed its release had been a mistake. This is very typical of government, you know, they put something out in a declassified manner and then they pull it back when it gets found out that it reveals corrupt government practices. Apparently, Sir Colin Chandler's telegram was sent to Riyadh, where he was arranging the sale of these 72 Tornado and 30 Hawk warplanes on behalf of the British arms firm BAE, British Aerospace. It was revealed that their cost had been inflated by nearly a third in the deal with Saudi Defense Minister Prince Sultan. And Prince Sultan, you know, who was the ambassador to the United States recently, he has, quote, a corrupt interest in all contracts, according to Dispatch, and this was an admission by the British ambassador, Willie Morris, published recently in a committee to the House of Commons. So this is a big deal now in Britain, but as typical of these revelations, nothing happens. In the first place, they're a little bit in the past tense. The people are already out of office, and so the current government can say, well, it wasn't us. And yet, we suspect that these things are continuing. This is the way they do business in international arms dealing. Nobody provides these kinds of million-dollar deals without getting a cut at several levels along the way.
Well, I'm sure this happens. I'm sure it happens in our country as well. in fact, they did have that one big blowhaha when they were... Boeing was going to provide all these tanker planes,
exactly.
And the woman who was negotiating them was preparing to go to work for Boeing as soon as she got out of the Air Force. So, you know, and I don't know anybody got slapped on the wrist a little bit there, but we're talking about hundreds, well over $100 billion of contracts for Boeing, special favorable contracts to lease the planes rather than buy them. It was incredible.
That's right, and it was insider dealing in there. You know, when the government slaps even fines on people, you find that Boeing still gets huge contracts, and those contracts are inflated, and they have ways of channeling money back to them to make up for the funds. It's
sure.
The U.S. taxpayers that get screwed in the end. The other aspect I'm covering in this next World Affairs brief is the increase in surveillance around the world. The technology for using the microchips embedded in the skin has been now, it's a big deal about requiring all animals to do it. And part of this is government's ability to support the industry that is making these chips so that it'll have the billions to develop something that they will eventually propose for human beings. And Britain's already ahead of us in this. They're already talking about, there was a big scandal in the British press about one of the ministers talking about using this technology for tracking human beings. And so the government is already thinking about that in Britain. They're also getting more aggressive about searches. The way police treats this is verges on the criminal guilty until proven innocent concept instead of proven innocent or considered innocent until proven guilty. In any case, in The Observer in London, a father and his 8-year-old son got off a train at Blackpool on Friday evening 2 weeks ago and were confronted by a number of police officers moving passengers towards a scanner. There was a mildly threatening manner about these police officers. It was clear they expected everyone to pass through the scanner when they said it was being used to search for knives. Now, the man, whose name was Danny, quietly told the police that unless they had a very good reason, he would not be searched. One or two passengers hesitated as well and then joined him in refusing to go through the scanner. The police were clearly upset about this and couldn't do anything because Danny was right. They did not have reasonable grounds for suspecting he was carrying a knife and so had no grounds to search. Now, the British don't have the same constitutional rights against unwarranted search as we do, but they have the same common law in their legal system, which our constitutional civil rights were derived from. And those are still in vogue in Britain. They are violated all the time by government, as we saw in this impromptu search that was being set up without any cause. So he told the police, "I'm not some rabid left-winger or a civil libertarian," he said. "It just seems to me that we're allowing a police state to be developed and we're not giving any argument to it." And that's the point, is that people comply with this and they don't fight it because, you know, the police will simply make them miss their plane if they object to some of these things. Or worse, throw them in jail and hold them for 30 days. In an interview, he seemed to modify his remark, Danny, that is, by saying that the police behavior had been oppressive. And the commentator in The Observer said, "Thank God there's still people like Danny who know the law and understand that part of its fragile essence is the respect for the rights of the innocent citizen when confronted with authority." The British Transport Police may insist that it's, quote, Operation Shield. You know, they always give this some operation name that makes it appear patriotic, as this random trawling for suspects is known. But, in fact, they are just simply taking away individual rights.
We're out of time, Joel. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you later.
My pleasure.
God bless. Bye-bye. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the morning program.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests, reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I hope you enjoy hearing Joel as much as I do, and I believe he's absolutely right. I believe that they're using the war on terrorism to justify a dictatorship in America, and it's been this way down through the ages. You always need a war to rally the people behind the government, and that's exactly what they're doing now. And this whole thing is contrived, and if you doubt it, you need to get the recent issue of Foreign Affairs magazine in the lead article on page 2 of Why Haven't They Hit Us Again, talking about the terrorists. And the conclusion for Foreign Affairs magazine, for the elite who read this, is there isn't any danger from Al-Qaeda. And we'll be covering that in our future newsletters, what they say among themselves, but they can't let you common people know that, because they plan on chipping you and having video cameras watching you and then listening to your telephone calls and monitoring your emails and monitoring your faxes. And all of this has been done for years under Project Echelon. E-S-C-H-A-L-O-N. Go up on the internet, look at Project Echelon, and you'll find it's been around for a long time. Now they're just trying to justify what they've been doing dishonestly and in violation of our Constitution for many years through the National Security Agency, also known as NSA. No such agency. The top secret spy organization, far more powerful, far more sinister, far more dangerous than the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, to understand what's really going on today, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness and the DVD, or you get the Brotherhood of Darkness special that includes the DVD or video and tape and book. And then you need to get of the other material we have on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. We have 3 pamphlets made up of basically the articles we've written, largely taken from their own writings. There really is an occult hierarchy. They do publish publications. You say, well, they're not secret. If you can get them, you're absolutely right. But you'll never hear about them covered in the major media or television. That's why my 3 pamphlets are only $9.95. Those 3 pamphlets are so vitally important. Then, of course, we are trying to raise support to republish Dr. Dennis Cuddy's wonderful book, Secret Records Revealed, and now it has an index and updated, and you can get an entire case of the Secret Records Revealed pre-publication for $149.95 plus shipping. And if you're interested in getting that and helping Dr. Cuddy get that and others of his books back in print so that we can get his information out to the public, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and look at the other material we have on this supernatural conspiracy to rule the world. You need to get our 14th set on the supernatural. Interviews with a woman who was a medium, Joanna Michelson, and she had the supernatural power, eventually had to renounce it because she realized it was demonic. We have a book called The Diary of a Demon Hunter, or a Diary of a Devil Hunter, who was actually in the satanic movement. We have a 4-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have all sorts of material out there to give you an understanding of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged today and what energizes the wicked people who are moving us towards World War III and towards total regulation and control of every aspect of our lives. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. I number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com.
Pure
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin.